Hello, everybody. We're back. If you don't know, now you know. So we are starting our rewatch of The Wheel of Time Amazon Prime TV show. Please join us Wednesdays at 7:30 Pacific Standard Time, West Coast, California, on YouTube at Wolf Brothers 7. That is Wolf Brothers 7, 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Please join us live to add your two cents to the conversation. We want to know where you are with the show from, you know, the original launch oh so many years ago to its eventual demise. Are you happy it's gone so we can move on? Are you sad it's gone because now we have nothing? On top of that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to, at least this is the plan, hopefully I can keep up with this, is I want to release some old episodes. If you're a classic fan of Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast, then you've probably heard some of these episodes. This is for a couple reasons. Like I said, for those who want more content, go ahead. But I also want you guys to listen to this and let us remind us what hypocrites we are. What did we despise 5 years ago that we're now like, not too bad. You know, now that we have no Wheel of Time, that crappy Wheel of Time was pretty damn good. You can jump on live with us Wednesdays, 7:30, and you can let us know why we're full of shit. Or you can send me a direct email to thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. And please find each other to discuss Wheel of Time. It's kind of under construction right now, but I'm working on wotrewatch.com. That is wotrewatch.com. We are Parched Ailment on X and Insta. On Facebook, we are still Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast. And on Blue Sky, we are Wolf Brothers 13. I'm going to try to post some content on there. Mostly, I'm going to be there to keep you guys up to date on when we're recording, when you can join us. So if we have to change our record time, you can still join us when that changes. But mostly, I want you all to be able to find each other and enjoy talking about the Wheel of Time. So enjoy this throwback episode of Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast, now known as WOT, Rewatch of Tribulation.
Thank the Light, everyone. I am your exact verbiage, and these are my wolf brothers.
I am your slightly subdued Sedai.
I am your much happier Sedai. I had to go with Sedai. I don't know why.
Woo!
The second episode was much better. I forgot.
It was really good. I did like it.
Was it better, or was it just not? Was it lack of bad, or did you actually like it?
You could say that, lack of bad. There was a lack of bad. No, it was better. It's this. I think, honestly, this is the one that stuck closest to the book. This section right here.
And the things that they added were horrifying, but good.
And the things that they cut out, it wasn't even they cut out. They just kind of like streamlined. I was like, okay, that's totally cool. The Shadow Logoth stuff, you know, you having to do that.
I was surprised that you were okay with the Shadow Logoth. I thought you'd have been more mad about Mashador.
No, because so in the books, obviously,
you know, you made the point about fog maybe being a little.
Yeah, it's fog. It's really hard to do. Yeah.
I saw this movie. It was better when it was called The Mist by Stephen King. I'm done.
Exactly.
Thomas Jane was in it. It was amazing.
Or The Fog. Oh, that was a great movie. Adrian Barbeau, right?
I'm going to have to take your word for it.
No, it's Adrian Barbeau. You will have to take my word.
It was a King book, wasn't it?
The Fog? No, that was John Carpenter.
Yeah, that's right.
But so in the books, Mashadar is an actual fog. So doing that it's difficult to do as far as special effects and then to make it look ominous and scary. I'm totally okay with what they did with that. Yeah.
I just hope they keep some of the main plot points with it, because there's some things that come into play with Pod and Fane and Matt and stuff that are really cool, especially all the way through. So
the thing with the fog too, like, I think I'd have more problem with, like, how can it not get them? Like, when it's crawling across the walls on the ground, I can I can imagine them being able to run away from it. When it's fog, it's like,
it's everywhere.
And why would walls contain fog? Like, oh, yeah. Well, can't go outside of those borders. Whoop. You know, I'm not, you know, unwavering mist. It's like, you know what I mean? Makes a little more sense. Like, it has to be contained within the, you know, the ground or some, I don't know, the stones or some shit. I don't know. As they say, every stone of Eridol was tainted or whatever, you know?
I'm not unreasonable, okay? I'm not unreasonable. I can be reasoned with when it comes to the show. I can be like, you know what? I understand. I understand what they did with this. When it comes to some other stuff, I'm like, I don't understand why you did that. And it doesn't make the story better. It makes it worse. So don't do that.
That's actually the reason why I don't get that mad at you, because most of the stuff that you have are actually, I don't want to say technical, because it's not like, oh, you know, there was bad lighting. It was like, it's like the screenplay adaptation technical. It's like these things, you wasted time on this when you could have put this here. And it's, you know what, I will refer to the editor. You know, it's easier to look at a completely finished product and go, what? Than trying to like lay it all out, you know? It is funny because Dez pointed out, sorry, Dez, I want to finish. You pointed out, we don't cut shit just to be dicks. You know, and also like Jeremy, like the stuff that you are hating on, like I, you know, I have to look at myself in the mirror and go, you know, it's not, you know, it's, you know,
you fucking know. But no, you're right. When it's stuff that seems like, and I haven't had a lot of problems with this because I'm not as connected to the books, but like I can see getting frustrated when it's like you assume there was a lot of people invested in the story in a writing room for a long time.
Yeah, not one of them kind of said, hey, what about this?
Yeah,
nobody bounced that off the wall to see if it's
let's
stuck.
Trade this for this. Let's like, yeah.
No, I totally agree.
That slipped through a lot of fingers.
See, I don't want to make it act like I'm a good writer. I am not. I'm a terrible, I could never write for a TV show and I'm terrible. But Justin and I were talking through text one time.
Together, we could write amazing shit.
We probably could. Two of our brains could be one brain, and that would be a good writer.
Three quarters.
So we were talking about the scene in which there's the Aiea woman is fighting all the guys, all the soldiers.
Right.
And we were talking about, it was the veil conversation. She would never kill anyone without pulling that veil up. And so...
Yeah.
And Justin had made some points like, well, they need to show who she is. Like, well, it doesn't matter who she is. No one knows who she is. And even if you see her face, you're like, oh, she looks like Rand. She doesn't look like Rand. She's just another woman.
And you know what? Even in that fight scene, even if she was like, if it had Rand's face superimposed, you wouldn't be like, that's Rand as a girl. It's like she's kicking so much ass. You don't give a shit what she looks like.
You wouldn't have even thought about that.
She could have a fucking horn growing out of her face.
What we were saying is like you should have seen they could have shown like she pulls the veil down, then all of a sudden these guys start attacking her and she's fighting. She goes like there's like a killing blow. She stops. She won't do it. Pulls her veil up, then kills the guy.
Yeah, she could give him, you know, a kicky chop and then a break the wrist and then fucking whoop and then stab, you know. So totally.
And then we were also saying like, well, they want to show her face. Well, the perfect time to do that is when Tam shows up. He puts his sword in the ground and he's like, I'm going to help. So she reaches up, pulls the veil down and says, I trust you.
I accept your help. I accept your help. Wetlander.
Did not someone say this? Like there's a person who's the Bible gal, the gal who has like.
Yeah, she's Christina Nakamura or whatever the fuck her name is.
Oh, is she the book continuity specialist?
I bet she's a genius. She probably does everything.
I bet she doesn't sleep well at night.
She probably doesn't.
Just because she's like, I fucking said.
Well, and you know, who knows how much they listen to her.
She probably said the same thing that we said.
Yeah, she's probably like, come on, you guys. And they're like, no.
I used to test video games and it would fucking drive me nuts that a game would get released. And everyone would go on the blog, go, fucking idiot testers. They missed this fucking bug. I'm like, I personally wrote that bug up 4 fucking times. It's not up to me when the game gets released. I digress. I wrote this more than once in my notes. Holy shit, this happened in episode 2. I put everything that happened in this episode, I had at least episode 3, if not 4 or 5.
Really?
Really?
The white cloak cold open, that was at least episode 3 or 4 in my head. The Shadar Logoth was episode 3 or 4. Like, I don't know what I thought happened in this episode, but like, that's why listening to the editor, I was so fascinated by his, like, you know, I mean, it makes sense why he's got
episode
it
7 and minute 28. You're like, fuck, I don't, what? And I've watched them all a bunch of times. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. He's like, this happened in 6, and then 5, and at the end of 4. And it's like, all
not
right.
Only that, when we asked him what his favorite scene in the books is, he told us the chapter and the name of the chapter. And we were like,
oh, shit.
I was like, wait, what?
In Veins of Gold, right? In Veins of Gold. You're like, oh, shit. All right. Yeah. Yeah. That one. God, I don't know.
You're like, I'll tell you my favorite scene from the book, but I'm not going to be certain which book it is.
Dude, that guy was amazing. He probably just got off and was like, those guys are insane. Hopefully it was like, those guys are insane. I can't wait to go back on with them again.
Please.
Not, those guys are insane. I'm never going to talk to those weirdos again.
Yes, please.
If you're out there, shout out editor. What's up, buddy?
Yes, come back, please.
Dude, it was so fun.
Hashtag won't fan edit.
Justin and I were talking with like about our favorite scene. One of our favorite scenes is Rand shows up in the middle of this huge battle, and he was like, I'm not supposed to do this. I shouldn't go and fight this battle because it's going to attract the Dark One's attention to the wrong place. He's like, but you guys have been fighting so hard. He's like, I'm going to do a solid for you. And then he just runs out and he just wipes out like an entire army. And literally don't know what book that's in. Don't know what chapter it is. And I'm pretty sure it's in the second to last book. It might be the last book. I don't even know.
I think it's the beginning of the last book. It's one of the first chapters in the last book, I believe. It's when it starts to really get nuts, bad, but yeah.
He goes, chapter, name of the chapter. And then tells me exactly what happens.
And until I reminded you, I don't even think you know who he shows up to save. You're like, what's his name? Rodal?
Yeah.
I'm like, Rodal Itterald.
Yeah, it was like one of those guys. I don't even know.
One of those cats.
So who's got the most notes today?
Oh, I got, you know what? It's funny. Almost no notes. Look at that. That's me.
Ooh, Justin. Wow.
I got about the same as last time, as yesterday.
None of them start with stupid. None of them start with dumb.
That's why there's so few of them.
Yeah.
I actually wrote more words this time, but...
Much less content.
Yeah, exactly.
Much less substance.
It's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So we'll definitely let Justin kick this off then.
Go for it, buddy.
Let's go. Well, I mean, I don't have anything that's like too, oh my God, world stopping, but just the whole White Cloak intro, like,
Hold on, Justin.
What?
Let's let Dez do the intro like we did with the last episode.
Oh, yeah.
What we're doing.
Yeah. Hey, Dez, why don't we? Hey, showrunner, can you fucking hook us up so the talk guys can talk? Jesus Christ. Set me up, bro. I got to knock them down. I'm the bowling ball.
Welcome to the Wheel of Time podcast. We are your true source, the purest light, your companion cast, your warder, if you will, for this journey through all things Wheel of Time. What we are doing right now is a full season 1 rewatch, giving each episode the time and attention it deserves. So we have just watched the Wheel of Time season 1 episode 2, Shadows Waiting, and now we are going to talk about it.
Fucking right.
That man is a professional.
It's not so much a cold open as a hot mess open.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right.
Kind of all
right.
Over the place. I fucking, you know, the hangover omelet. Let's just go.
I got to get a shout out too to my boy, Brian. My boy, Brian in Knoxville. He's listening to our show. He's one of my oldest, bestest friends. I was the best man in...
What?
Beep.
Yep. Dude, not supposed to say his last name, but yes.
Oh, sorry. What's up, Brian?
But he's my oldest, bestest friend. I was the best man in both of his weddings, and he was one of the best. He was the best man in wine. And he's listening to this show, and man, just wanted to tell him we love him and keep listening to the show. He doesn't know anything about Wheel of Time. He's listening just to listen to us.
Oh, thank you, Brian. Hello.
I know him too. What's up, dude?
Dude, if you can be the best man at both weddings, that's a fucking best friend right
we're,
there.
We're buddies for life. I mean, come on.
That's homies.
Okay, back to Wheel of Time.
Not yet. Is that a Warriors hoodie?
Yeah.
That's a Warriors hoodie?
Yeah.
I just finally noticed the bridge.
It's the Chinese New Year one or whatever.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, rad. Okay.
All of a sudden, he's a Warriors fan. He grew up a Kings fan. I don't know what happened. Oh, yeah, that's right. The Warriors won 3 championships.
Hey, that's bullshit. Nah, I like the Warriors back then too, man. Chris Mullin and Hardaway, fuck off. And Mitch Richmond.
No, he did.
Chris Mullin was like our idol. I used to shoot left-handed because I was like, Chris Mullin, 30 minutes in, let's get going on the Wheel of Time.
Let's keep these short and to the point.
Fucking man. And you know what? It's not even my fault today. I've been kind of shutting the fuck up.
It is not.
It's almost always my fault. That's what I said at least last night. I go, I was the one who was kind of trying to like, hey, let's move the show along. Like, if I'm moving the show along, we're having fucking problems. We have the Waze is broken. Google Maps is rerouting. It's all bad.
Derailed.
But you know what? It's just to get right into it. The White Cloaks, man. Like, you know, the White Cloaks, you get the feeling that they're dicks in the books really quickly. But they took it up a notch in the show. I mean, like, they are fucking motherfuckers eating and bleeding everywhere. And he cut her hands off.
Yeah.
That was another thing I kind of had forgotten about. I'm like, fuck, that's right. He cut her hands. You're not going to be casting those spells with me, little witch. Yeah, they're gonzo. And then to be... You know, you're about to watch someone burn. You just cut their hands off and you're eating something that makes your mouth bleed. It's like, oh, you guys are motherfuckers. And you guys are supposed to be the good guys. I think it just helps to blur that line. Is the dragon the dark one? Who's what? You know, it's like these guys are supposed to be the good guys. What the fuck, man?
You know what? I was surprised when they meet up with our heroes on the road and the one guy says, oh, you can probably find an Aes Sedai there to heal that.
Then in the books, they never would have done that.
Yeah, they're like, there's an Aes Sedai there, and we're going to get there first and kill that bitch, so don't bother.
Yeah, if we knew where she was, or we had more time, we'd follow you to her and kill both of you. But they, and also in the books, they aren't as brazenly open about, like, that kind of shit. Like, if they caught one out in the woods by themselves, and they can get away with it, for sure.
Okay.
But, like, to just do it kind of openly, no.
And here's what I don't understand. So you, what do you think, Justin? So he cuts her hands off. And in the books, like, that wouldn't have done anything. You don't need your hands to channel.
Yeah. I just think that's like maybe a measure of maybe she's not as strong or as experienced as a sister. Because some sisters do kind of have that, I think, as a crutch. They really have to kind of do hand movements. But, you know.
Do you think that they're... Because there is a scene coming up in the other episodes where... Valda says, you know, I heard someone say once that you guys don't even need to move your hands to channel the power, but, you know, they still have to do it. So that's why he cuts their hands off. Do you think that they're going to use that to show, like, oh, Egwene or Nynaeve or Elaine are so much better at using the power at such a young age? They don't need to use their hands. Like, he's going to capture...
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he's going to capture them, have their hands tied up, and think that they're fine. You know, that they're okay.
Well, she already does it, actually, if you think about it.
No, she moves her fingers. She moves her fingers.
That's true. She does move her fingers when she burns his bonds off, huh?
Yep, she does.
All right. Look at me paying attention to details.
Sorry. The one time I pay attention.
The one time. Didn't help me in school. Yeah, mostly just even Valda still fucking sucks, man. I mean, he's got the bloody mouth and he's just like, burn the bitch, cuts her hands off. Also, the full intro. That's the first time we get the full intro and the weaving and everything.
Yeah.
Definitely rivals the throne shit. I mean, it's really good, I thought, anyway.
Yeah, I didn't think it was all that great at first. And then I started watching and I was like, okay, no, that's actually pretty good. It's not bad. The Game of Thrones thing is just, it's head and shoulders above everything else.
Yeah. It is a kind of a ripoff of it, but I do like that what they did.
I don't think it's too much of a ripoff.
Not a ripoff, just kind of like... it's like they use the same syllabus.
Sure. Yeah. But doing a good opening is really cool. There's a lot of shows they're doing. I don't know if you guys, did you just see the Severance? Did you guys watch Severance at all?
I haven't watched that yet.
That has a really good opening.
Does it?
And yeah. It's one of those times where you're like, I've seen this opening like 5 times. I'm not going to fast forward through it. I'm not going to skip it.
Yeah. I don't like the new Game of Thrones opening as much. It's...
I only watched the first episode, and I don't think it was in the first episode, was it?
I don't think it was. I don't think so. It's like they're like, let's do it like the first one, but we can't do it too much like the first one and totally rip it off. So they just kind of, it's not as like I used to love watching the Game of Thrones intro because I would like know what's going on and where it's happening. It would like prep me for the episode.
They'd always have kind of like where you're going to be, and they'd always have something little thing that was going to kind of give you a little Easter egg about the episode or something.
Yeah, totally. Like, ooh, we haven't seen that town yet. This should be cool. Yeah.
Ooh, bunch of sheep fuckers over there.
But even before, and I've gone off on the podcast a couple times about this, the camera work during that cold open is fucking phenomenal. All of the reflections that they show.
Dude, I thought about that when I was looking at the goblet. I was like, damn, he's right.
How do they do that? Because I was even looking for like special effects lines this time. It's like, that's got to be imposed on there.
Like they colored out the drone that was taking them the shot or something.
Yeah.
You know, like they tried to fix it, you know, Photoshop fix it. Yeah, no, I couldn't see nothing, dude. It's good. I agree. That's something I just kind of was like, that's cool. But then I really looked at it. I was like, oh, dude, he's right.
What's the yellow Aes Sedai's?
Healing. Which is why it kind of makes it extra fucked up.
Yeah, actually. I knew there had to be like a double like fuck you with which Aja they chose for that scene.
Well, and I couldn't tell, but it almost seemed like he had a ring from each Aja because he's got seven. And he definitely had a red and a blue and a yellow.
Yeah.
But I didn't see the other ones, but I, you know.
Do the rings have any inherent power, or are they just an identifier?
Just an identifier.
It's not a Tarangriel or anything?
No, it's like a badge. Like, you know, like, oh, you promoted. Boop, you know.
Well, in the books, that's how they are. You never know. They in the TV show, they
in
they
the
could
show,
change
they
it.
Might be super secret decoder.
Super, yeah. Drink more Ovaltine?
What the fuck?
I took her ring. She can't cat. She can't use the power.
She has no more powers.
I took her ring.
Oh, fudge.
But I didn't say fudge.
Speaking of the Lord of the Rings, go ahead, Justin. We cut you off.
Speaking of Lord of the Rings, that was one of the, I think I said at the beginning, but when they're leaving the two rivers, when they cross the river, it has a very like, we're finally out of the Shire kind of feel.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, there's a lot of that, which I'd never really read The Lord of the Rings before I read the other books, before I read Wheel of Time. And I didn't realize how much, you know, every fantasy author is taken from Tolkien. So
yeah, you couldn't write anything if you didn't take a few things.
So you guys working in the restaurant industry, right? You guys had heard of Ortolan, right? The bird that he eats?
Dude, yeah.
I hadn't.
Oh, wait. No, I hadn't. I thought you said like Anthony Bourdain.
We were cooks. We weren't chefs.
Okay.
Yeah. I got close to that by the time I stopped cooking, but it was never French. It's a French thing. And it's they don't, it's very outdated. It's considered very barbaric.
Well, I think it's illegal in most places.
Yeah, it is illegal.
Yeah. I'd never heard about it until I read L.A. or Kitchen Confidential.
Yeah.
Which was Bourdain's book.
Yep.
And he talks about eating ortolan and talks about the process of what they have to do. And it's like, I'm like, man, I don't know. That sounds terrible. Why would you eat something that cuts you?
Why do I want to hurt my mouth? It's going to fuck up my, I was thinking about that when I was watching. I'm like, it just makes no sense. Burning, it's bloody. It's ugh.
Only the French.
I eat snails, dude, and they're good, and I don't want to eat that.
Well, I eat butter, and they love butter, too, and bread. So, I mean, come on.
Yeah, exactly. I think I might be French. Well, dude, and what I say, it was cool to see. I was just letting you go because I was just trying to make a stupid joke anyway. I was like, it was nice to see the Trollocs get into the water a little bit because maybe they still stink of piss, but, you know, as Matt says. And they're still, you know, obviously Trollocs are still very gross, Desmond.
Trollocs are... Dude, if we don't see some Trolloc sex, this is no good.
Oh, no. Oh, no, no.
Ugh, no. Hey, kids, this is how my draws are made. Boop, ba-doop, boop, boop.
Hashtag Trollocs are gross.
Yuck. Dude, did you catch the war horns, Jeremy, when they're coming up to the ferry, the Trolloc horns? Or maybe it's when they're chasing them through the woods. I think it's when they get to the ferry.
It's when they're chasing them through the woods. They stop and he blows the horn. Yeah, I did catch that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, dude, I pictured it being a little more high pitched, but it is every bit as creepy. Like if I heard that and knowing what it is, just be like, Oh, dude, all the poop just came out.
Yeah, you know what's coming.
This horse cannot run fast enough.
No, and it's all squishy. Fucking Moraine is just a savage, though, too, the way she's just dedicated the mission. She, like, doesn't even think. She's like, well, there goes your boat, dude. Bye. Like, and that happens in the book, but it's like, there's a little bit more of a conversation, kind of.
I know Moraine didn't kill him. I know he fucking committed suicide. But,
I mean,
he didn't. I don't know why it bothered me that he died this time. From a storytelling standpoint, I feel like we could have gotten the point that, you know, she, for good reasons, sank his boat, and now he's stuck on this.
It makes her look villainous.
It does make her look villainous, and it does make them question her motives. And
right.
You could have done the same thing with just, which actually happens in the book, is she just destroys the ferry. The guy doesn't jump in at the water after it. He could have just been like, why did you do that? You killed my family.
Well, the fact that she, you know, he's like, oh, that you're just as bad as the White Cloaks say. And then she just is like, well, I'm just going to sink it then because you're going to jump in. And if you jump in, then you're going to take it across. And the Krolliks, you're going to die either way. But it's like, it's still kind of harsh.
Yeah, it's like, I understand why they did it. Like, it really hammers the point that, like, Moraine's not taking any prisoners. These four heroes mean the most. But it was like, it almost would have made more sense if he would have, like, gotten on the boat to go back. And then she was like, no, you can't take it back. And then sank it. And then just, like, if she's going to kill him, like, just fucking have him kill him, you know?
Yeah.
Well, she can't, technically.
Well, they can't.
Oh.
So she wouldn't have been able to do anything once he got on the boat. Like, she couldn't have done that.
But it's like, drink this poison or fight this Trolloc either way.
All right. Perfect scene. It was perfect. I take it all back.
It was perfect. Thank you. It's about time you agreed with me. Oh, no, I'm just kidding.
You know, you talked about the Matt line where he says, no wonder, you know, where they say the Trollocs won't cross water. And he's like, no wonder they smell like piss. And all I can think of is like, oh, why did that? The one guy that left the show, and I think he had all the best lines in this episode. He is, I think, honestly, he's probably the best actor. And then maybe it's just because they gave him the best to work with. Because Matt usually has the best lines, and he's funny and he's quippy and all that stuff.
Smart ass.
Exactly. So this new guy, man, I hope he picks up the mantle and does well, because that, you know, he was really good. I really liked him.
As much as I was like, the first episode, I was like, damn, by the time he left.
Yeah, he's so, like, I'm really noticing it this time, just how smart ass he is.
Yeah.
Like, you guys kept saying it, and I'm like, I guess, like, I like him, he's cool, but he's not that much. But like, now, like, everything coming out of his mouth, it's just like,
yeah, everything. He's like, well, until then, she shoots fireballs, so
yeah,
we probably want to stay on her good side. Were you about to say that? Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. We're like an old married couple. Chef's kiss.
And he starts the song, right? Like, he's riding along, and he starts the song, and, you know, he's got the singing voice.
That's such a good little clip song, dude. It's so good. It, like, it's every time I watch it, it's stirring. Like, I can feel it in my sidines taint every time.
And so my sidines taint. So he, in that scene, so they're singing the song about Manethrin, and then Moraine goes into what the song is about, because they actually don't know what it's about. They've just been singing it for forever because they don't understand it.
I know, that's fucking hilarious to me, actually.
But it's good, because that scene is in the book as well, where Moraine, like, she's confronting the people of the town, and they don't understand what's going on. And she goes, I, basically, like, I can't believe you guys are acting this way. You know, after all, you know, you don't know who exactly, you don't know where your people come from and what they are. The only thing that I wish that they would have put in is at the very end, she talks about how where Aemon, King Aemon, died in the field. That's where you're named after. It's, you say Aemon's field. It was Aemon's field.
Oh.
Yep.
So, and they're like, what? Oh.
Yeah, it used to have an A at the beginning and no D.
Exactly.
No D, son. No D.
There's a town that's south of midway between, here in Bakersfield, called Kalinga, right? Kalinga is just like this tiny little town. The only reason it's called Kalinga is because on the train stop, it was coaling spot, like where they would get their coal, A. Coaling A.
Oh.
It was Kalinga.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Good times. Good times.
So in the 1800s, they would pick up their coal there, and it was coaling spot A. Kalinga. Now it's Kalinga.
Awesome. That's rap. What is it? There's some... Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm going off on a
No, I was going
off on a dumb tangent. I don't need to do that.
Well, I mean, tangents are fine.
That's all we do. Come on.
Well, I was just going to say, mine's even dumber. Like, who does the Shadow Spawn's horses? Like, who shoes their horses? I mean, they're immaculate.
Those shoes are dope.
And that's a scary job. If you fuck it up, they're going to be like, fucking, you're dead, buddy. You hurt my horse.
Are those for real? Like, have you ever seen shoes like that, Justin? Like, that have that little, like...
Yeah, I mean, kind of. Just a little spike in it. Not really. It would be painful for the horse, so...
Okay, yeah, I wasn't sure if it just curled up around the front or... But you're right. It would have to be embedded in there.
If you did something like that, it would have to be you're only running on soft stuff. Otherwise, it would start to crack.
There we go. I knew you were the man for the job.
You know, because that happens. In a, yeah. One of the coolest sounds around is when a shoot horse is like running on like trotting on pavement, like click, clop, click, clop, click, clop.
So there's a. So, Justin, answer me this question. The Murdral, when he shows up,
mm-hmm.
right? All they do is so far is scream deep. But yeah, seriously. But in the books, they talk. Like, there's certain times when they talk to people.
Oh, yeah, dude. Lots of times.
Do you think that they'll ever... Are they going to just keep him, like, almost like an animal type of thing? Or are they going to have times when Murdrals talk to people, like in the books?
I think they'll have them talk. I think they're really going to hide their faces. Because even in the books, a lot of times, when they're talking to people, their faces are completely hidden.
True. Yeah. And people are like...
Like, you know, when they're always, it's always in the dark and they're always shaded. And like, it's some stranger. It's not like they look at him and go, this motherfucker don't have no eyes. It's like, oh, he was a scary stranger. I didn't want to look at his eyes. Because he doesn't fucking have any, for one. Part of the problem.
Here's my guess. They only talk in dreams. They only talk in the...
and to babies.
And well, what's the dream world called?
Tell on Riyadh.
They only talk in Tell on Riyadh.
I don't know. Maybe.
No, because Fades and Trollocs cannot go into Tell and Riyadh.
Oh, what?
Yeah, because they don't really dream that way.
That makes sense. They're fucking monsters.
Yeah, unless someone were to... And you know what? There's no other way to get them there because you can't open a gateway for them to go through there either. So.
Yeah, they can't go through gateways.
Nope. So none for you there.
All right. I tried.
Like someone could imagine them there. No, like if you had a person like Perrin or Egwene who's powerful enough, they could like project it, but they would be as real as, like, if I were strong enough to project a bunch of Trollocs to come attack you, they would be as real as you perceive them to be. If you were strong enough, you could just be like, no, they're butterflies, and they would turn into butterflies. So they're not actually Trollocs, but you know, how does the dude know his son is coming? The ferryman.
That doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, yeah.
Text, IG, Facebook,
pagers. No. Come on. It's. Pagers. They always have pagers.
Oh, okay. Two-way. Had a sidekick.
You know what? We grew up without that shit, and we always knew who was coming to the mall.
True.
That's fair. I'll be there in a fortnight, Father. Well, today's the day. Bad luck. The cocking hour of midnight when the moon was at its highest and
no.
The grandfather clock struck 27 or whatever. I don't know. Do they have normal time there? I don't know.
Yeah, do they?
They use metric time. I don't know if you guys know that. Yeah, metric time.
What is metric time?
Do they really? What? 12 centimeters, a clock, 35.
Metric times, they have 30-hour days.
Exactly. It's 100 seconds in 100 hours.
I knew this fucking show was stupid.
It all makes sense.
You know what? That would make more sense.
Dude, before we get off the subject of horses, though, Jeremy... What about Aldeeb and Mandarb, though? Like, right? I mean, like, dude. I mean, I know it's not that hard to get their horses right, but, like Moraine's horse and Lan's. Like, they're perfect, man. They're perfect. I wish Lan had his armor.
Yes.
That he has in the books, because he hasn't worn any armor, really.
Yeah, and I don't think he probably will. That this armor is not kind of in this... It's not that... Well, I guess in the Shannarans, they wore some armor.
Yeah.
But other than that... Yeah, they're probably not a whole lot of armor. But you know what's funny too? We were talking about horses. It's mentioned right before they get the Shadar Logoth, like all the horses stop. You remember that part?
Yeah.
Right? They won't go any closer?
Yeah, they're like, no.
And Egwene's like, Bella, why won't you go any closer? That's the first mention that she's riding Bella.
Nice. I didn't know that.
Which is cool, which I hope. So they kind of already screwed it up in the books, which I you guys have heard me say that a million times. In the books, Bella is. The thread that holds like everything together from book to book to book. She keeps showing up, like, you know, in the first book, Egwene takes her and then.
But it makes sense too. Like the reason why this horse keeps popping up is because someone rode her to this place. And then she somehow, she's at one point, they get her back from the White Cloaks, right?
She's in Tar Valon. Min takes her when there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes down in Tar Valon. Min takes her and she escapes from Tar Valon. And, you know, I probably figured this out 20 years ago. And I was like, oh, I know what's going to happen. At the very end, something's going to happen. And Bella, you know, one of our characters is going to get on Bella and ride off into the sunset. And that's going to be the final scene. And Brandon Sanderson, I was like, please don't screw this up, Brandon. Please don't screw this up. And he didn't. To his credit, he did not. He did a very good job. Like, I'm sure that Robert Jordan set it up a long time. If I figured it out, like, everybody had to figure it out.
I love that everyone knows Nynaeve just hates everybody when Matt's talking. He's like, I wish Nynaeve would hear. She would make Moraine's life utter misery.
Which is hilarious because we were talking about that last episode. I was like, why is she so angry at her? You're like, she's angry at everyone. In the books, she's angry at everyone.
That's her M.O.
What are you talking about? That's right on fucking brand for her, dude. That's all fucking Nynaeve wakes up every single day and chooses violence.
Fuck everybody.
Hey, oh. I noticed Perrin's mouth was open because he was sad.
Sad, happy, bewildered.
I gotta stop with this because if we ever do catch on and go to a Comic-Con, I'm gonna be like, nice to meet you, Mr. Rutherford. I'm a fucking huge asshole.
Punch.
I actually think you're great because I do.
And the more Desmond reads the books, the more I realize you're just a fantastic actor.
Yeah, because Perrin's mouth is open dumbly a lot. They actually refer to it. I'm on book fucking 13. And he's like, people thought because he took a minute to think that he was slow. Now they thought he was clever of wit and shit. And he's like mad about it. And it's like, so you're mad that people don't think you're a dipshit anymore?
Like, yeah.
Come on, bro. Moraine comes while Egwene is asleep. And she's all like,
yeah,
she's so stalkery, bro. She has supreme stalker energy. And then she's like doing the thing to wake her up, obviously, with the power. And she's just like, almost like, I don't know, dude. It's so creepy.
It's so weird. Using the back of your hand, it's like a Bond villain to the Bond girl, where they rub the back of their hand across your face.
You are quite exquisite.
I bet you taste yummy.
Fucking gross. You are fucking disgusting.
You're a creeper. What's going on, Moraine?
Yeah, she had such stalker energy. It's like, ugh.
When she's showing Egwene the pendant and having her kind of, you know, try the powers out for the first time, it's all a callback to the river scene.
Yeah, totally.
Like, it's all let it take you, just relax. What does she say? She says the exact same thing that Nynaeve says. I can't.
Let the power flow through you, that type of thing.
Surrender to it. Which was like, I guess they're, as long as they're consistent, if you want to do something dumb, you know, have your reason for it.
That's what got the men in trouble, penetrating sighting.
Don't let it flow.
Again, though, like, you could have just had her jump into the water. You didn't have to shove her off the cliff.
You know what? Actually, the more that I watch it, the more ridiculous it is, the madder it makes
me. She pushes her so violently.
Welcome, bitch. Like big, like little sister, like, I've been waiting to fucking do this to you. I'm going to give you whiplash. I'm going to push you so hard. You're like, damn, this doesn't...
You stole my man.
Yeah, this does not... You fucking kill my dog. You burn my fucking barn.
I know it was you on Instagram with them fake names coming in and talking all that trash.
She should have leaned forward right in her ear and just said, right before she pushed her, said, I'm going to fuck Rand.
I already did.
Listen. If the editor is listening, please.
Jeremy, don't worry. He's not. He's not.
He's got editing to do. He can't.
If he did, please, you can edit in something that looks like that. just a short clip. It just has to be a short clip. No one else can do it but him. No one else.
Just camera can be behind her. You don't need any lips moving or anything. It's still... I looked so fucking close this time. The first time Rand pulls that thing out of his throat, it does not look like a bat.
No, I know, because the wings kind of blend in with the ground, so it just looks like a big fucking rat. That's what I thought it was at first.
And it looks hairier.
Yeah, it's very hairy. It's a big bat.
It looks like a rat of unusual size. Like,
yeah, it does, dude. It does. Like a baby one. Like, ugh.
You know what? I don't think they exist.
As far as those, I don't think they exist.
We'll see. We'll see. We're in their world now.
Yeah. Gwyn comes up right after that. It's like, not now. I've got bat breath. No kissy. Well, and why is she all butthurt? Because he's like, I came out here to be alone. She's like, fine then. It's like, well, you already went off with your stalker girlfriend to play by the river. So what are you mad about?
They're so bitchy.
And she already kind of was like, you know, I'm going to do this. And Rand's like, well, I guess that's it for us.
Yeah.
Bran's looking to jump ship.
Well, because he thinks she already jumped ship. He's like, well, if you're going to be a wisdom, then.
Well, she didn't jump. She got pushed.
That's true.
But she can't talk about that.
Yeah, I know. It's a secret. Women's circle business. Fucking. She's crying. She's like, they fucking pushed me in the river.
Why are you soaking wet? I can't talk about it.
I can't talk about it. First rule of the women's circle is you don't talk about the women's circle.
Why does it look like you got a tattoo of 7 different colors on your face? Shut up!
Okay, but something we didn't talk about in the first episode, the on her arm, the scar, when he looks down, he sees the scar on her arm, or it's like a, you know, an injury maybe? I don't know.
Oh,
I think it's when she had bone break fever. Egwene, right?
It's never discussed.
No, she gets that. I think she gets that in the river. I think, well, because they show it right after she gets out of the river.
Oh.
So I think it's.
Is she bleeding or something?
She's got a good gash. She's not like.
Does she?
Yeah, I think so. I hope I'm not.
I didn't catch fucking none of that.
Totally talking.
I barely remember the scar.
Because didn't he like, because I feel like he like looked at it.
He looks at it.
Yeah. But when they're in the bar too, like right. After the ceremony.
They're doing the dishes.
Yeah.
And then the camera looks right at her arm. And then he's asking, like, how did it go? And then she's like, you know, I can't talk about it. And then he looks down and he sees her arm. Or maybe it was before that. I can't remember. But they don't, like, I don't remember seeing her bleeding or, you know, them focusing on her arm or anything like that. So I didn't understand. Maybe it's something they cut out. You know, I don't know.
Like, I feel like they showed it briefly when she got out, when she first got out of the water. I feel like they at least like,
okay,
you know, they didn't zoom in on it or anything, but it was obviously that she got roughed up going down the river. She did not immediately surrender.
Well, that's what happens.
That was her problem. You got to surrender.
Oh yeah. Speaking of them being bitchy, I think it's when she gets up right there, when he's like, I want to be alone, or maybe it's later. I don't know. When Egwene says, damn it. I can't remember who said it. Someone says, you already left me behind.
That was Rand.
That was right. Yeah. She was like, oh, she was like, I hope.
She's like, you're just going to leave me? He's like, you already did. Burn.
Yeah. Just.
Rand's fucking snarky in this episode. He's very defiant towards Moraine, like violently so. But then he also seems like on the, like every time she talks, he seems like he's on the verge of smirking and like little kid, you know, like, whatever. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. His character is kind of, and again, this could be just the way they're writing him. He's just kind of whiny in this episode. And I know that
he's whiny in the, they're all a little whiny in the book though.
They are.
Especially early on.
Yeah, they are.
They can be a little whiny there, but they're also much younger in the books too.
Yeah.
You have to realize like, yeah, in the books they're 18.
Oh.
And Egwene's actually 16.
And they're kind of like a, you know, the young 18, like a, you know, small town village type of thing.
Young, but also old. Because they've always been working their entire lives and you know.
Well, and Egwene shouldn't be in the conversation at all then. I mean, we know as book readers that she's not, but.
Well, in the books, but in the TV show, they're all the same age. I'm almost positive, except for Nynaeve. She's older.
Oh, you're right, because she wouldn't be fucking Rand if she was 16. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, well, she might be, but.
Maybe she's 18 and he's 20.
I think in the TV show, they're all 20.
Yeah.
Or maybe 21 or 22 or something like that. They aged him up quite a bit.
I mean, you know what? They could have still made her. It sucks, too, because they could have still made her young. And it could have just been like a fib by Moraine because she wanted to make sure she came with him because she's going to be strong. Moraine's going to be able to tell that she can channel right away.
It's the whole dragon mystery box that they tried to set up, that who's the dragon thing.
Because they said he or she again in this episode.
If you going forward in the TV show, there's no reason that if someone who a woman who's going to be the dragon reborn, everyone would get behind her. They'd be like, sweet, that's awesome. Okay, let's do this. Because she's the most powerful channeler. She's a woman. Nothing's going to happen. That's great. But if it's a man, you're like, oh, he's a channeler. He's going to eventually go crazy and kill us all. How do we get behind him?
Yeah, that, you know what, would be convenient if it was a female that ended up being the dragon, I guess. You know what? That's actually making, like, I didn't even think of it from that angle. As far as like book readers, that ruins it right there. Like, that would never, that's the whole like trepidation of it's going to, you know, we need him, but he's also probably going to go fucking nuts. So it's like that, you know, razor's edge, like, whoops.
Yeah, they'd be running around collecting women like the fucking Sean Chan if it might have been a woman. It's just like, is it you?
Well, and it admittedly would probably make it a lot harder to find him.
Yeah, but worth finding him.
Yeah.
Worth putting out the search party and checking him out. How do the White Cloaks not clock Moraine as an Aes Sedai from a mile away?
That's a good question. I kind of was thinking that myself, just like the way she's dressed. And, you know, it's like, you know, not a lot of, you know, females that are kind of have her bearing walk around with just one dude. Most females in this world of her bearing are either a lady, a merchant, or a queen, and they're going to have more than just one guard.
And the Aes Sedai all have that, like, eternally 28 years old and beautiful.
Yeah, but not in the show.
But I guess, yeah, for the show, they don't have that.
It's impossible to do. Yeah, I agree, because, like, so, like Justin was saying, if you're a wealthy person, like maybe a lady, you might have somebody who's like your protector, or you're going to have like three or four protectors, but they're probably going to be from where you're from, right? Right? Like, where's you from? She's from Kyrian or
Karhine,
or whatever, however you say it. And then he's from the Borderlands. I'm like, that seems odd. Where are these kids from? The Two Rivers. Well, that's really weird. And what are you doing?
Where did you come from? Taren Ferry. Technically, that's true.
In a time where like half the nation doesn't even realize the other half of the nation truly exists. And these six knuckleheads all got together like, And she's got a fucking Trolloc scar.
Right. Well, exactly. The fact that that's something definitely in the books. If you say that you've come across Trolloc, suddenly you're a dark friend. And it's like, I didn't fucking choose them to come after me. And I killed them and lived, so automatically, if I would have died, then I'm a good guy. It's like, that doesn't make any sense.
If she burns, she's an Aes Sedai.
Yeah.
Yep, that's how you know. 100% accurate.
If she drowns, she's not guilty.
Look, 60% of the time it works. Every time. But it's just like, you know, you can tell that there's a healthy fear of them right away. And there's definitely wariness from Lan and Moraine. She immediately dumps the ring. She tells them to keep their fucking mouths shut. And, you know, you can see how tense they are, and she doesn't play it off super well. So that's another reason why I'm kind of like, how do they not make her completely, you know? And maybe Valda kind of does. Speaking of which, that guy is just a shitbag. They're casting and writing like you just want to like, oh, that guy is just, he makes your skin crawl just being on the screen, which is awesome. That's what you want from that character 100%. But like, he's like fondling Moraine and they like don't do anything. He's like feeling her shoulders and like running his hands down her back. And it's like, what are you looking for, dude? You didn't even know she was injured at that point. You're just like, what's going on? And it's just like, and Lan's like, only thing is I feel like ballsy to say what he said.
It is, yeah.
Because it's like, you could have caused a lot of problems for them right there. Even Moraine's kind of like, hey, dude, fucking, we can do what we got to do. Zip it.
I got this.
I hope that we get some sort of maybe in like Matt's memories, like some sort of a Manetherin flashback.
That would be cool.
Maybe to him as Aemon dying or Eldraine, you know, something kind of about that origins, you get something, or even a different one of his memories somewhere else. But when they start filling in Matt's memories with stuff, it's that would be kind of cool. And you could do it in a short, like cold open too.
So getting to Shadow or Logoth, what did you think of it, Justin? And Dez as well, because you knew my opinion, because you're like, oh, he's gonna crap all over that. Actually, I didn't. I thought it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
So tell me what you guys thought. Especially Dez, you start off because you were coming to this blind. So you tell me what you thought about it the first time, and then Justin, you go.
I like it a lot for fantasy stuff, like a creepy place like this, but it it was like a, it's like a bad horror movie where they're in the most dangerous place ever, where anything you touch could be fucking death. And they all just kind of walk away and just kind of go do their own thing. Oh, I'm Rand. I'm going to go walk into this building and see what's happened. Oh, I'm Matt. I'm going to go on a midnight stroll into some creepy corner.
That's easy, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Taviren.
It can't be. I don't know this, but is the dagger eventually going to be good for Matt?
No.
So how is that Taviren that he fucking.
No, you know what? Yes.
Really?
It's in a roundabout way. But yes, it's good for Matt, and it's really good for Rand.
Well, no, I don't know if I can agree with that completely.
Well, it allows the trick at the end.
Jeremy, you have 2 minutes. Go. The debate is on.
In the books, when they go into the city, Moraine just tells him it's Eredal. She doesn't say anything about Shadow Logoth.
That's true.
So when, I don't even know how they do it. They kind of just take off, and they start looking around, and Moraine just like, I don't know if she just lets him or if she was like, I'm going to rest or something like that. They just take off and start exploring.
Yeah, she's exhausted. So she rests.
So when they come back after they actually meet up with a guy who calls himself Mordith.
That's right.
Right. And so that's when Matt finds the dagger and they're like, where did you bring us? Like, what is going on? There's like this crazy.
Yeah. Who is this man? Where's all this room full of treasure?
It's like fucking Smaug's treasure.
Even Perrin's like grabbing a gold encrusted axe and shit like that.
Yeah, and so she's like, oh, we're in Shadow Logoth. And she's like, you said this was Eredal. And they're like, yeah, well, it was Eredal, and then it turned itself, and now it became like this horrible place where even the Trollocs won't go into. What do you think?
Before we get away from Eredal, do you think that Ordeath and Mordeath and Pod and Fain will that storyline develop?
You know, I will be interested to see if they do the Two Rivers stuff.
I think if you're going to do the Two Rivers stuff, if you're going to really get into Pod and Fain going insane and carrying the dagger for a long period of time, which it kind of looks like they're gonna with the Madral nailed to the wall, you kind of have to. And here's my reasoning for saying that the dagger is kind of good is because towards the end, Matt.
So the song leads to Moraine telling the story. Is that the first mention of Balefire?
No, she doesn't use Balefire.
She doesn't say Balefire there.
She doesn't say Balefire.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't. But she talks about somebody fighting back the army with a massive amount of flames, thus killing the.
No.
No?
Balefire is completely different.
Oh, boo.
Yeah. She said it's a hurricane of fire, but that's not Balefire.
Well, I knew they didn't say Balefire, but I thought that might have been the breadcrumb.
I think, honestly, that Balefire won't come into the show, in my opinion.
It has to.
I don't think.
And you know what it kind of looks like? Looks like Iron Man when he fucking shoots out of his chest.
I don't think it'll happen.
Out of your fist. Or like when it shoots out of his hands.
That would be cool.
Like just a straight beam, like an ion beam kind of. How could you not have it? It's so important. It's one of the ways that you can keep the Dark One from bringing people back.
It can cut now. You can cut that out. No problem.
See, you know, you say how, oh, this made sense. This thing doesn't make sense. Jeremy, that doesn't make sense. With your views, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to leave it out. Your hypocrisy knows no bounds, Mr. Gaines.
I am Doc Holliday. But Balefire is a deus ex machina. Right. It is the.
He speaks Latin. I definitely hate him. Hashtag Billy Zane is Asmodeus.
Billy Zane is anything.
Yeah. Hashtag Billy Zane is anyone.
Billy Zane is Mashadar.
That would be awesome.
This is like superimpose his face in the fog. Jeremy, do we think that the wound on the leg, because he's kind of secretive about it, and then the wolf licking it, do we think that has, it better not have anything with him being a wolf brother? I don't know. Like, is it just to maybe show the kinship of the wolf? Like, because like, that's how.
That has to be it, right?
They would treat a pack member the same way if they were injured, you know?
It comes up in the next episode too, right? With him and Egwene, he's still hurt, but then it's just, they just like gloss over it. it's just, it's gone. He heals.
It's mostly at the beginning of this episode, he's looking at his leg, and then like towards the end of the episode, or maybe it's the next episode. Yeah, the wolf comes up and licks it.
No, that was this one.
Was that this episode?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And then, but it's like, and then he just walks off, and it's like, I really, the only thing I could come up with after thinking about it is like, they must just be showing like, oh, the wolf, he has a kinship with wolves for some reason. And I'm just like, if it has to do with the scratch by a trollic and then the look, I'm gonna be like, come on, this isn't Spider-Man.
I really don't understand what they were trying to do, Fatty, because it's just, they don't even show when he gets hurt, right?
Yeah, not at all.
They don't show that. They don't show that scene. It doesn't really bother him until that.
Well, they show him fighting with trollics. Yeah, he's fighting four trollics, so.
You can deduce that maybe a trollic grabbed his leg or something.
But then it's brought up while he's sitting by the fire. Then Egwene comes over and talks to him, right? And then he's down filling up the canteens by the water. And then the wolf comes up and licks it. And I guess that's, it's just showing like, you know, all of a sudden, why are these wolves caring about this guy? But then I think the next episode, it comes up one last time and then that's it. It's just never talked about.
Well, I think it's because the next couple episodes, the wolves are still kind of following them, but obviously not hurting them. And so this is the beginning of that, like,
it's just a weird way to show that this is the way the wolves care.
I think it's a perfect way to show it. It's a dog. That's a perfect way to show a dog cares.
I guess.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I hope it's nothing deeper than.
Yeah. They didn't infect him with Wolf Brother.
Exactly. Like, oh, his wolf's alive. I made him a Wolf Brother. Like, oh, God.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Do you think there's any significance of the Eyeless just showing up in camp and them not really knowing? Maybe just because Moraine is so weak. Like, basically, he rolls up on them while they're sleeping, and instead of stabbing them, he yells. He seems just as surprised as they are.
I find it weird that Egwene wakes up first. And so at first, I was like, why was Lan not up at first? I was like, oh, Lan comes running. He's like, they're here. And I was like, okay, good. Lan can, because Lan should be able to sense.
Maybe he was scouting or something and couldn't, you know.
Exactly. Or he was going to see what was going on. Why Egwene wakes up first? It should have been Rand, in my opinion. It should have been Rand. Hey, guess what, guys? He's the hero of the story.
They're just trying to keep the guessing as far as the dragon, though. That's 100% what that is. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't, that's weird. Doesn't make any sense to me. And then, you know what I did really like? Other than the fact that, obviously, in the books, Nynaeve and Tom Marilyn are with them when they are at Shadar Logoth, they split everybody up the way that they do in the books. Matt and Rand are together. They have Tom with them usually in the book. They end up meeting him in the next episode or one more episode. I can't remember. Perrin and Egwene are together and they do meet up with the Tinkers just like in the books. And Nynaeve, Lan, and Moraine are all separated together. And so she actually catches up with them before they get to Shadar Logoth in the books. Nynaeve does. But then they just bring her in right at the end.
That's right. You know what? I kind of had it in my head that she took off with them for some reason. That's right. She comes later.
She comes later because she's like, oh, you know, this Aes Sedai just took all the kids in my town and I'm going to go find them. And she does it while they're trying to debate like who to send. She's like, fine, I'm just going to go do it myself.
Yeah, she just leaves. Yeah, she's a savage. Dude, she's a savage, dude. 100%. Do you think that there's any significance? And I mean, this is me reaching. Lan handing giving Moraine to Perrin. Do you think it's just because he's the strongest and can carry her, or do you think it's because he's the only one that hasn't been kind of a shit ass? Matt's kind of been a shit. Rand's kind of been a shit. So maybe he just kind of has some inherent trust for Perrin. It just says, hey, you're strong enough to carry her, fucking blacksmith. Let's go.
Yes, you're the biggest, strongest guy here. You take her.
Because then Rand is the one handling her horse, which also makes sense. Because Rand seems to be kind of like the horse master.
Well, Matt. Well, I guess not in the book. Matt is the horse guy, but.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, Matt's dad is the horse guy. So Matt inherently, I'm assuming, is the horse guy. But.
Oh, Matt's dad's a fucking useless drunk. So.
Well, womanizing drunk. Lecherous drunk.
Lecherous. You're right. He's very useful to some.
It's just funny because like the kind of scandals they have in Eamon's Field isn't like. A lecherous drunk. It's like, oh, Senbui talks too much shit. Like that's the big scandal. Oh, he's a jerk sometimes when he hasn't had his coffee.
Yeah, you're the Coplin or a Conger. You probably tell stories.
Yeah, fucking great stories, dude. I'm fun at a party.
Yeah,
It's like Parks and Rec. They just bitch about where the fence is going to get put up. No, you're not putting the fence up there. You're going to put it 2 feet west. I'm putting my goddamn fence where I want. My goddamn sheep.
Oh, here's another question, Jeremy. And this one is another one that I'm...
I'll take this one.
Unless... Okay, Des, you know what? You probably have better perspective on this anyway. That's not true. But sorry, Des, I love you, but...
Open perspective, not better.
Yeah. Why is Moraine's wound taking like fucking 4 days to do what Tam's did in like 30 seconds? Or, you know, a day and a half?
Because she healed Tam.
Tam is like instantly, like he gets the poke in the shoulder and it's like, oh, he immediately is like fevering and sick and acting like he's going to die. And it's more or less a superficial wound in the shoulder. She takes nearly the same wound and rides for 2 days, 3 days.
Hers wasn't poisoned.
Not what? Aren't they all poisoned?
No, not all of them. So technically, okay, then now I'm speaking from the books.
That's true. Only some blades are, because if they don't have prisoners to sacrifice to, like, instead of,
yes,
okay, instead of cooling the blade in, you know, like, I don't know, what do you know about blacksmithing at all, Des, but you have to cool the blade to temper it at the end after you fucking fold it a million times.
We've all watched Forged in Fire, come on. Let's go.
Come on, I know how to make knives if the world ends. But then they would basically, instead of doing the last in water, they would just murder someone with it.
Oh. And that would like taint the blade.
The more innocent, the like stronger it is. Like, cause they have little kids and women and stuff like that. Yeah.
God, Trollocs are fucking gross.
Cause like, if they just killed dark friends, it wouldn't be that bad. It's like, you've got to kill people who are kind of trying to live in the light and terrified.
Virgins are the best.
Basically. Yeah.
There's a scene too in, I can't remember which book it is. It's one of the later books where someone is going around like not Shatter Logoth. Shia Ghul, and there's a forge, and they have like the blacksmiths, and they're kind of like golems. Like they have like, they're like,
not like my precious golem, like a
golem,
stone monster golem. Yeah.
Did I say, yeah, I meant golem. Yeah. They're more like a stone monster golem, and they're like the blacksmiths, and they had like all these innocent people lined up as they're making like weapons for the Trollocs, and they're kind of going over what they're going to do and stuff like that.
I think that's in like the last book when they're surveying the valley around Shale Gol, Akandar, and
yeah, it's kind of a sad scene too. It's kind of crazy.
It's really fucking sad, actually. It's fucking like, oh man.
The last few books, man, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, this is the Empire Strikes Back times 10.
The whole scene with Matt and Perrin and the knife, the tools not weapons speech. It just makes me think about the significance of his wife and him killing her. And it's just like, it's still a head scratcher for me. I hope it's setting up something that she is a dark friend or is something. It's like, I hope it has some sort of payoff emotionally for him, because if it's just so he could be sad at the beginning, it really detracts from his storyline for me. And I fucking hate it.
They bring her up a lot in this episode too. Like, I forget how much they keep mentioning her, and he's just like, like, they killed Layla. He's just like, oh.
He's like, oh, she didn't feel anything. Like, oh, you felt your axe and her guts.
Yeah, and I've listened to what they've said about why they gave him a wife and then why she was killed off. And I just don't understand the logic.
Because I swear I've heard somebody say, no, she's not a dark friend. Pretty obvious. And I swear people have, like, asked. And it's like, no. No, that's not the case. And so I could be talking out my ass, but I feel like Rafe was like, no.
And J.J. Abrams said it wasn't purgatory, too. So.
You're the worst.
Justin has no idea what you're even talking about.
No, I'm just laughing about you guys' previous conversations about how. Well, and just every time I think about Zoe trying to explain Lost to me and then Lisa, and we're just like, dude. And did you guys catch all the Pod and Fane whistles?
I did. Yes.
No, I did not.
When they're rolling up to the ferry, he's whistling Shadar Logoth. I think there's a couple different ones. Oh, also, do you think that is his shadow on the wall that leads Matt to the dagger or Mordeth? I think it's Mordeth.
Yeah, Mordeth, I agree.
Or do you think that Pod and Fane has already been infected by Mordeth and then it's kind of already...
It's possible. that's not one of the things that they like. They really could have like put him in there more, and so you would understand like, oh shoot, he was there, and that's what happened to him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You can do a lot of that stuff with cold opens and flashbacks because they don't have to be long, and so that to me is okay.
Or you could have just do it right now. We could just do it right in the middle of the show.
Could have cut out that whole river shit and then did the stuff better. Then she pulls up her veil. It's all good.
Exactly.
Wrong scene. Never mind. Yeah, man, I think that's all I got. Other than, you know, episode ends with Nynaeve right on fucking brand. Just tell me where they're at or I'm gonna kill ya.
She is back.
Fucking dead to me, mofo.
It's funny because, like, in the books, she is not a fun character. And she's not a, I just, you know, I like Justin was saying, you don't really, I mean, I'm sure some other people would be like, oh no, she was one of my favorite characters.
Well, for every cool thing she does something incredibly annoying. And so you just like, it negates it.
Yeah, she's just really annoying throughout the entire books until the very end. And then she finally learns, she learns some humility at toward the end.
Yeah, her overconfidence like gets them in dumb shit, you know?
Yes. And in the TV show, like from the beginning, she's a great character. And the gal who plays her, I don't know her name, unfortunately. And she does a great job. I couldn't have picked anybody better. She is head and shoulders. I think her and the guy who plays Matt are the two most perfect characters that they could have picked.
What's funny is that I didn't. It's not what I pictured Nynaeve as. I almost.
No, me neither.
I either pictured Nynaeve as a little bit more like Egwene, but just a few years older. Like she like was one of the characters that I pictured, like, you know, not that I give two shits about that, to be honest, but you know, you kind of just picture somebody in your head.
Yeah, totally.
I think all the characters were pretty dead on. Nynaeve was the one that I was kind of like, ah, I could see that, but that wasn't exactly what I pictured. Dude, she was one of my favorites right off the bat, dude. 100%. She's awesome. Just do one of the, she had me, and she screams at that fucking troll, like just with a paring knife. You're like, that's right. Get it.
I love the last thing I want to say about this is I really like the music in this show. Like I haven't really thought about it or it's never really stood out, but I like the I could call it as fantasy rock and roll. Like, cause it's kind of got the fluty stringy horn, but then there's like, an electric guitar and regular drums in there sometimes, like when they're picking up the pace, it gets a little bit of rock and roll. And I think it's a good mix. It's going to serve them well instead of being like trapped in like, you know, Lord of the Rings area or something like that. I think that's going to give them a lot of freedom to rock out when they need to during battles later on. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Thank the light, everybody. Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parse to Ailment. That is Wolf Brothers at Parse to Ailment. You can send me an email directly at thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. If you're looking for anything else to listen to, head on over to whatsoundsawesome.com. We got Time Pop, All the Answers, Truth Not Trends, Thank the Light, Be Brave, and very, very soon we got Pure Physique Podcast, the hot new fitness and nutrition podcast. Coming at you. Thank you for listening to this. We will be watching episode 3 and coming back to you in a week. Until then, remember, it's the wind that listens to you.
Favor your sword, nerds. Also, rate, subscribe. If you can't figure out podcasts, go watch us on YouTube. Subscribe to that. Like us. Get us in the algorithm so other people listen too. Please. We love you. Bye.
Good old-fashioned tell a friend.
Absolutely. Hashtag Billy Zane SSPodia.
Please join us Wednesdays at 7:30 Pacific Standard Time, West Coast, California, on YouTube at Wolf Brothers 7. That is Wolf Brothers 7. Please join us live, and you can let us know why we're full of shit. Or you can send me a direct email to thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. WoteRewatch.com. That is WoteRewatch.com. We are Parched Ailment on X and Insta. On Facebook, we are still Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast. And on Blue Sky, we are Wolf Brothers 13. I'm going to try to post some content on there. Mostly, I'm going to be there to keep you guys up to date on when we're recording, when you can join us. So if we have to change our record time, you can still join us when that changes. But mostly, I want you all to be able to find each other and enjoy talking about the Wheel of Time. So enjoy this throwback episode of Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast, now known as Wote Rewatch of Tribulation.
Jarvis.
Welcome home, sir.
I am Iron.